again on the book of Ephesians. It is a series that we have started. Brother Ben gave us a powerful introduction of that particular book. Pastor Gabe, Brother Rob, myself, and Brother Darrell shared on that particular book. And this is the last of this series. And it is on the whole armor of God. The whole armor of God. Let's pray. Father everlasting, once more we say thank you for blessing us, for bringing us together again as a family. And Father, it is time to hear your word. We pray that, Father, give me the spirit of wisdom that I may be able to convey your word unto your people. I pray that, Father, speak through me unto your people. We pray for the spirit of understanding as well. We pray for the spirit of concentration. Take us through this wonderful book successfully, that at the end, we give you all the glory and honor. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Yeah, my name is Joel again. And today's sermon is taken from the book of Ephesians, chapter 6. It is from verse 10 down to 18 and 20. And let's quickly look at what is going to happen in it. Before we go to the sermon itself, the sermon is telling us about how to be strengthened. It is telling us to be strong. Another part is telling us to put on the whole armor of God. Another part is telling us to take up the armor of God. Anytime I read this, I try to understand the difference between putting on the armor of God and taking up the armor of God. And the understanding I get is, when you put on the armor of God, it's not something that you are coming to wear. It is something that you have to put as part of your life, as part of you. When we get down to the whole armor, you'll understand it, but you have to put it on. Let it be part of you. The various armor should be part of you, and taking it up is when you need it. When you face a difficulty, then you take it up and use it. It talks about the helmet of salvation. It doesn't mean that you should wear your helmet of salvation, but you should be equipped with everything that is needed for salvation. And if the time to use it comes, you take it up and you use it. As we proceed, you get more about it. And also, the final part of the passage tells us to be prayerful. To be prayerful. And the Bible tells us to pray without ceasing. And Jesus also taught us how to pray. But this part is telling us to be prayerful and pray in the Spirit. Amen. Now, the passage itself, it looks a bit small, but I think some people can read it. Let's take 2 minutes to read it quickly before I'll do some breakdowns. If we can read it together, the whole armor of God. Let's go. Finally, my brethren. Amen. The passage is about putting on the whole armor of God and taking it up. But do we just need to put it on or take it up and just be there? You realize that I highlighted some words there. We have stand 4 times in the passage. And it is just in 2 or 3 verses. The fourth stand is in 2 or 3 verses. What the Bible wants us to do is to stand, to be alert, to be up. Because we are in a difficult moment. We are in a difficult time. We are in a very dangerous time. And before you can withstand or before you can survive in this time, you need to stand up. We don't see any soldier who wear his uniform, take his gun, and just sit down there. No, you must be alert. Whatever is passing, you know that you are ready to attack. I nearly wear the armor for easy illustration, but I think the passage will do more justice. So the first aspect is telling us to be very strong in the Lord. We must be strong in the Lord because the battle that we are fighting is not physical, but it is a spiritual battle. And putting on the armor of God is not like you go to the market, you buy the helmet, you buy this one. This is the armor. You buy the shield, you come and wear it and stand there and say you are ready. That is not what the Bible is saying, but you must prepare yourself spiritually. Because the battle is against the powers of darkness. It is against the evil spirits. The devil is at work all the time. The devil is ready to devour us. The devil is ready to bring us down. And the devil also has its armor that it is using. The devil has different armors that is using against us. And we have also to use the armor of God, the armor that God has prepared for us to use and stand in the difficult time when the devil is throwing whatever he is throwing. The armor of God will protect us. And we have to be strong and we have to be standing up doing in order to win this battle. It is not a battle that you just think that, oh, I'm a Christian, I read the Bible, and that is all. The word is the whole armor of God. I'll break it down and see which of them do we need, but the Bible is talking about the whole of the armor. You cannot just say, oh, I know the scripture, so that armor is enough for me. No. It is saying that you take up the whole armor of God. And from the picture, we can start from the belt. The belt. You say we should giggle, or we should fasten, or we should wear the belt of truth. Wear the belt of truth. When we look at the verse, the verse 14, yes, stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth. The waist, we always put belt over there. And when the soldiers are going, they put the belt, and you realize that with the belt, when they wear the, what's the name, the breastplate, they use the belt to tie it. And even in the same belt, they have pockets somewhere where they put the sword, and some of them even hang their shield somewhere on the belt. So the belt is the anchor of the whole armor. And that belt is what? The truth. That belt is the truth. And when you look at that particular slide, the belt is the anchor of the whole system. All the other systems are fastened to the belt. And even if you wear the breastplate without the belt, you realize that as you are walking, it will be shaking. And it will not give you the freedom to fight or do whatever you are doing. So you use the belt to fasten it so that you have flexibility, you have mobility to do whatever you are doing. And here, our Christian life or Christianity is built on the principle of truth. And that truth is that God loves us. That truth can be found in John 3:16, that God so loved the world that out of that love, he has given us his only begotten son. He has done the greatest sacrifice of the in the earth, the greatest gift that you can get. But the condition is we should only believe in him, and salvation will be ours. And one thing you realize is that once you deviate from the truth, once the devil is able to take you away from the truth that is in the Bible, the biblical truth that Christ has died for us, that is the source of our Christianity. Christ is the Messiah. He has come down to save us. He has died for our sins. And through that, we have won salvation. But the devil will take you away from that truth. And the armor that the devil uses in this particular context are lies. The devil will lie to you that, no, Christ hasn't died for you. You are a sinner. Forever be a sinner. And once you buy into that lies, your foundation as a Christian starts shaking. He uses falsehood as his weapon to take you away from the path of truth and to draw you into the waters of lies. He used misinformation. And when we talk about the devil or Satan, we are not talking about any supernatural demon or something coming from anywhere. We have them among us. When you go to the internet, you are reading some things. The information over there are not correct. They are not true. But if you follow it, even as a Christian who is not very strong, you buy into those things. They will tell you that, oh, Christ didn't die for you. Christ was something. People come up with so many things. Some will tell you that, oh, Christ was taken away from the cross and he didn't die, which is lies. And they will back it with so many biblical things that if you are not strong, if you don't have that, you don't build your Christianity on the truth, you'll be taken away and Satan will win over you. But God said we should always fight for integrity. We should be honest and we should trust him in order to overcome all those lies. If you are honest with the word of God, you know that this is what God has said. This is what the Bible says. And you build your Christianity on the Bible, not any books outside the Bible. And in anything about your life, the Bible should be the paramount. When you hear any information from anywhere, if it is outside the Bible, know that it is one of the weapons that the Satan is using, is lie. P- people take verses from the Bible, manipulate it, put it as if that is what the Bible is saying. But the belt of truth will make you to stand all the weapons that are coming your way. The devil is at work. Now, the next weapon is the breastplate of righteousness. And with the breastplate, it protects both your front and your back. It protects all your vital organs. That is physically. When anything is directed to you, it will hit the breastplate and it will fall. When bullets or whatever, if it is bulletproof, physically it will hit it and it will go. Your important, organs are intact. But spiritually, it is saying that the breastplate should be of righteousness. The breastplate should be of righteousness. And I found two definitions of righteousness in the Bible. And the first one is righteousness from God, where Christ, our Lord Jesus Christ, has died for us. He has sacrificed himself. He has used his blood to cleanse us from all our iniquities and to make us clean and to make us right in front of God. That is the first meaning of righteousness, that Christ has died for us. He has paid all the price, all the sins that we have committed. The blood has washed all those sins to make us clean and to make us righteous before God. And the second one is the righteous that we as Christians need to work. As Christians, we need to work. Our actions will determine whether we are righteous or not. The first one is God, Jesus Christ, paying the price, cleansing us and making us righteous before God. And the second one is our actions should make us righteous before God. When you read Matthew 6:34, he said we should fight for the kingdom and its righteousness. This is talking about our part of the righteousness, where you make sure that all your actions portrays you as righteous. Not only the action of God. And if you are righteous in the sight of God, it is a powerful action. The devil cannot come and tell you that, oh, you are full of sins and you can't make it to heaven. Anytime he reminds us that we are sinners, we should remind him that Christ has paid the price for those sins and we are righteous before God. It is very difficult sometimes for our own actions to make us righteous before God. But at least the most important righteousness, which is Christ cleansing us from our iniquities with his blood, the blood that he has used to pay all the prices that makes you and I to inherit the kingdom of heaven, should be enough for us to push the devil away whilst we are working on our actions and working on ourselves to be righteous. It is not that once you become a Christian, you become righteous perfectly. Through Christ, you become righteous before God, but through your action, you still need more work to do. And most of us, I'm part of those people, are still striving to get that righteousness. And the Bible says that if you fight for those things, all other things shall be added unto you. So another weapon that God has given us to stand and to fight the devil is the breastplate, which should be our righteousness. And once we are righteous, we can't give room to the devil to attack us. And God wants us to use right relationship. The right relationship. If you are not in the right relationship, I'm not only talking about marriage relationship, but friendship. If you join a bad companionship, if you join a bad group, they will determine your level of righteousness. But if you are in the right company, if you are with the right people, they encourage you, and together they will help you to fight and achieve that righteousness. And another one is to have a peaceful heart. The breastplate is protecting our heart also. Once your heart is clean, your heart is peaceful, it is very difficult to go astray, to deviate from the path that God has created for you. A peaceful heart always reminds you, always make you to be at peace with your fellow people, with God, and to be at peace with everything that you do. It will not push you to go and kill somebody if within your heart you are at peace with that person. It will not push you to cause some things that will have effect on your salvation. And above all, it is love. Love in your heart. Love towards your people will make you to be in the right relationship with people, to be in the right relationship with God. God created that relationship between him and us by sacrificing his only begotten son out of love. And that makes you and I stand here as Christians, as benefactors of the kingdom of heaven. So from the breastplate, we move on to the using of the gospel of peace as our shoes. The gospel of peace as our shoes. And the word peace comes here again. The directly from the verse, it is saying that, and having showed your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, with the preparation of the gospel of peace, let your life be at peace with God. Let your spirit, let your soul be at peace with God. Go the extra mile to make peace with God and with your fellows. Now, with the Roman soldiers, when they wear their shoes, one, it is to protect their feet because they will walk for a long time during war, to protect their feet, to give them stability with their boots. When you are climbing mountains and those things, you feel comfortable more than wearing slippers or whatsoever. But in the spirit, it is telling us that our walking with God, our walking in Christianity, should portray the peace that we have with God. The gospel of peace should be our shoes. Wherever you are going, carry the gospel of peace. Whatever you are doing, walk with it. And also, as Christians, we have an assignment to go there and proclaim God. proclaim Jesus unto all nations. And that is what Christ is waiting for, until the gospel reaches all the corners of the earth. And we need to take up that gospel of peace. Sometimes you go to preach somewhere, you go to some countries, you know the persecution that is there, but you don't go and adapt to it. You go with peace. The Bible says that when you go and they sack you, go with other people, and when they are not ready to accept it, use your sandals, leave the sand there and go back. But that doesn't mean that when we are going to preach the word of God, we should have in mind that, oh, when I'm going there, they are going to do something to me. These people are not friendly. They don't accept Christianity. Go in peace. Because God has sent us with all the weapon. He has given us all the resources. Matthew 28 says that, go, for I am with you. He says that we should go to the end of the world to preach the gospel to all nations, that I am with you. He is with you. He is the gospel that you are going to present unto the people. And you should go in peace. You should not have any evil things in mind that, oh, they will do that. No. Go in peace, present the gospel, and the gospel should be only peace. And the weapon that God has given unto us is, we should try to disciple each other. We should try to disciple each other. And in this weapon, we should make sure that our missions and priorities are made right. Our missions and priorities are made right. Sometimes we forget about our priority. The other time we were having Bible studies in Xi'an, and somebody said that we only have our spare times for God. Maybe this weekend I don't have anything doing. Okay, then let me just read the Bible. Or let me just go and discuss the Bible with others. Our priorities are very important when we are carrying the gospel, when we are standing in Christ and proclaiming his word unto nations. Now, we try to make peace and transform the world, but the devil is always there to distract us. Anytime you take your book or you want to, you have a plan to read your Bible, distractions come in. How many of us have started every year with the new year? Yes, new year resolution that I'm going to finish the Bible this year. And we do it in the first, maybe second month. Then the devil starts knocking at our doors. We start jumping. And at the end of the day, we say, oh, I'll do it the following year. I'm one of them. I'm still fighting with that one. And keep on praying for me, and we will all be there. I know we are many here. So once you know your problem, it is very easy to solve it. But when you keep it to yourself, it is difficult. You keep on pushing it. Another weapon that the devil just leave with us and go is procrastination. I'll do it next year. I'll do it this year. I am busy with my papers. I'm busy with this one. But the gospel must reach every corner of the world. If you don't prepare yourself with the word, if you have not taken up the word, understand the word, it is difficult presenting it to others. It is difficult explaining something that you yourself, you don't understand. And I said this here the other time that sometimes when you are reading, it's like you are getting new things, new revelations coming to you. We don't just say that, oh, I've read the Bible once or when I was very young. Or they read it to us in Bible school. Or they read it to us in Sunday school. It is the time for us to grab the gospel, understand it very well, so that when we go out there, we can proclaim it to others. And it says that after having shod your feet with the preparations of the gospel of peace, where you get yourself prepared, you get the word in yourself before you go out to present it to others. Above all, taking the shield of faith with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked ones. We take up the shield of faith. And it is very difficult to be a Christian without faith. It is very, very difficult because one thing is that we read from the Bible. I don't think we have seen God face to face, but we believe in God through His Word, through what happens in our lives, through what the Spirit tells us, through what Jesus Christ has told us. But if you want to convince somebody to accept Christ, sometimes it's very difficult. Questions start coming. Have you seen this? Have you done this? But the faith that we have, we don't need to see all those things before we believe it. We feel it in our spirit. We feel it in the Word of God, which is our Lord Jesus Christ. John 1:1 says, in the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. And when you go down, it says that, and it came and dwelt among us. So the faith is our foundation as Christians' experiences. The truth is the foundation as Christians, and the experience we have as Christians is out of faith. And the father of faith, Abraham, it is very difficult for somebody to just come and tell you today that, oh, leave your country, go to this place, and it shall be well with you. You don't know anybody there. You don't know anything about that place. But if you have faith in the person who is presenting that gift or whatsoever to you, I don't think you think twice, but you go. Because you have faith in that person. That is how God is. He tells you to do something, you don't question God. You know that He's telling you for a reason. You know that He's sending you there because He knows what you're supposed to get there. That was the faith of Abraham. And Abraham was far advanced in age when God promised him a child. And some Bible versions says that at that time, his body was dead. He knew that at that time, there is nothing in him that he can use to conceive. But he didn't defy God. He accepted it, and we all saw what came out of it. And the same way, that only son that God has given him, God asked him to go and sacrifice that son. It's like you gave me money, and later on you tell me to just burn that money. It is very difficult. But the level of faith that Abraham had, he knew that even if he should sacrifice that only son, it was God who has given that son to him. God will still provide. He didn't question God. He just went ahead and was preparing the son for sacrifice. And that is the level of Christianity that we want. You don't need to question God. God does everything for a purpose. Sometimes you pray and your prayers are not answered. That doesn't mean that God is not listening to your prayers. Maybe should God answer that prayer for you, what is awaiting you? God sees beyond what we want now. He says that even before we were formed in our mother's womb, he has a plan for us. He knew us. And that plan is never for us to fail. God will not bring you or take you to any place for you to fail. His plan for you is to always succeed in everything that you do. So if he speaks to you, he directs you, you need to follow. If you pray and the answer is not coming, don't think that that is the end of the world. We have our own will, but the will of God is paramount. We need to have faith in God, and without that faith, we can't call ourselves Christians. Amen. And that faith will protect us against all the lies that Satan has prepared for us. Satan always comes with lies. And those lies are like darts of fires. He'll throw it to us. He'll say, oh, you that did this, that, you claim you are a Christian. You think that you can do this in secrecy and come in front of God. He'll try to pollute you. And you say, wow, it's true. I'm not worthy to stand in front of God because I did that, I do this. That means you have bought into the idea, into the lies of the devil. But the Bible told us that our sins, no matter how they are, even as red as they are, the blood of Jesus Christ has cleansed us, has washed us, and we are as white as snow. So anytime the Satan tells you that have faith that you have salvation through Christ our Lord Jesus Christ, he should not bring the sins, he should not bring those things to take you away from your path. We have faith that God will forgive us. God has forgiven us. But that doesn't give us the go ahead to be committing sins. We know that it is something we have done out of ignorance. But the devil should not use it against us and say, oh, because you do this, you do that, you don't deserve to be in the presence of God. And once you say, yes, it is true, he has taken you out. So before you can stand and fight this battle, you need faith, and your faith should be strong. Jesus even said that if your faith were to be as little as a seed, you can move mountains. When the apostles were trying to heal an illness and they were not able to, and Jesus came and did it, Jesus realized that they don't have that faith. The faith is not up to that level. When Peter was walking on the sea, going to Jesus, he doubted it. Maybe Satan just whispered into his ears that, oh, you can't make it. And once you buy into that one, you will sink. So the Bible tells us that we should be strong in the faith. And this faith will protect us against all the plans of the devil, all the darts that the devil is throwing against us. The faith as the shield will block all of them. They will not have anything, any dominion over us. And God wants us to be hopeful, to have faith, to persevere. And through that one, we will claim all the promises of God. I come back to Abraham. Through faith, all the promises that God has made unto him, he has claimed them all. From no child to father of all nations. But the devil is there to make us doubt that I cannot make it. To make us fear that, oh, it is not possible. And once we start buying into those lies, it becomes very difficult for us to put on the armor and stand in the evil days. Then the next one is the helmet of salvation. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit. So the helmet is for the head. They wear it on the head when they are going for war or anything to protect your head. And the most important organ in the head is the brain, physically. And anytime Satan wants to attack you, they attack our mind. Satan will manipulate our mind. Satan cannot control our mind. He has no power to control our mind, but he can influence our mind. He can influence our mind easily. So, salvation. Satan will tell you that, oh, because you are a sinner, you don't deserve salvation. Because you do this, salvation is away from you. Because you do that, no. Salvation is already won for us through our Lord Jesus Christ. He has shed his blood unto us. He has washed us, and we are now in the hope of salvation. We just need to perfect it. It is time for us to just perfect ourselves. Salvation is for us. The other time, Brother Darrell was saying that it doesn't matter what you have committed. It will affect your daily growth with God. But your salvation is there. God is always there. We have been already saved. But when we commit these sins, we need to keep on cleaning ourselves. It is not something that gives us guarantee to continue sinning. But once you fall, remember that Christ has saved you. Salvation has been won for you. And you, based on that one, you work your mind back to salvation. But when the devil is able to influence you and manipulate your mind, it is very difficult to even remember that salvation has been won for you and give you the courage to work your life back onto salvation or back onto Christ. So, what God wants us to do is to remain focused. To remain focused. To continue to have faith in him. To continue to trust him. To continue to be honest with ourselves. Sin is in the world. But not everything that is in the world are for us to take. And we were discussing something some time ago that once you are saved, does it mean that you are forever saved? And it was a very critical discussion. But what the Bible says is that once you are saved, you are forever saved. But if you are taken away, that means even from the beginning, you are not fully saved. If from the beginning, you are not saved, Matthew 24 says that even those who were saved will be disappointed. But what it means is, were you truly saved? Did you have that salvation from the beginning? On what was your salvation built? Was it built on the Bible, in the truth, or it is built on something that somebody somewhere told you, when you do this one, you'll be saved, which is not biblical? Was your salvation based on the Bible or the principles of Christianity or principle of Christ? Was it based on the principle that Jesus Christ have died for you, that he has shed his blood to save you? Or it is based on somebody telling you that, oh, when you just pray, God forgive me, and you'll be forever forgiven. You have to confess that indeed Christ have died for your sins, and that you are truly saved, and you'll be baptized with the Holy Spirit, and your salvation shall be complete. But if your salvation is based on different teaching outside the teaching of the Bible, outside the salvation of Christ, then you'll be taken away easily. Those categories of people are those who think that they win the salvation, or they are saved, but the end of the day, they fall. They are not saved. Once you are saved and you fall, you can still stand up because you know what you have held onto. So God is telling us to wear the helmet to protect our mind being manipulated by the devil and by the evil ones. And he said that the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. The word of God surpasses everything. The word of God is everything about us. It's everything for us. We should drink it, the word of God. And the word of God is the most powerful armor that we need. All the armors that were mentioned, you realize that they are all defensive armors. The helmet to defend your head, the breastplate to protect you, the belt, they are all defensive armor. The only armor that is offensive is the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And when we take our Lord Jesus Christ, we remember that 40 days, 40 nights, he was in the wilderness, fasting, praying. And when he came out, he was tempted. We don't know whether the devil was just waiting for him to come out. But the Bible tells us that he was tempted. And the devil used the word of God to tempt him. But you realize that all the answers that Christ was giving, it's like, it is written, it is written, it is written. He is using the word against the devil. So if you have the word, you prepare yourself with all this armor, you have the word, and it is time to fight the spiritual battle, the spiritual warfare, you can start using them. You have protected yourself very well. But if you don't have the sword to attack, you will always be in the defensive. It is like a football team. They always play defensive. But if you don't attack, you will not score any goal. You will never win. The best you get is a draw. But this battle we are fighting, we want to win. We want to be victorious. So you must prepare the word. That is when you put on the armor. The word is the most important part of it, because it is the offensive armor that you will use in the battle. And how do we get that one? How do we prepare ourselves with the armor? We read the Bible. we read the word. We don't just read it like storybook or any other book. We read it in the spirit. We read it in prayers. We read it all the time. But the devil is still there. He has his own weapon to attack us. And that is worldliness. He'll take you to the world and show you everything. That, oh, you when you worship me, I will give you all these things. The way he tempted Jesus. And not all of us are ready to reject it. Not all of us are ready to reject it. If you don't know the word, it is very easy for the devil to deceive you, because he was using the word to deceive you that all these things belong to God. And I have dominion over them. Bow to me and they shall be yours. He took it from the Bible. He knew that God created everything and he used it. But everything was given unto us, but not everything that we have to follow. And the last one is prayer and supplication. We need to be prayerful. After we have all those armors on, the Bible says we should stand. We should be in prayers. We should keep on praying. 1 Thessalonians 5:17 says we should pray without ceasing. And we should pray in the spirit. We should not just pray for ourselves, but we should intercede for others. And the Bible let us know that prayer is very powerful. I quickly want to use this as illustration. Time is almost against me. But this is a battlefield. This is David and Goliath that we all study in Sunday school. And from all that we have gone through now, Goliath used one important weapon. The Bible says that for 40 days, he was on the land of the Israelites, provoking them, telling them that none of them can do anything to him. If any of them kills him, then they will become servants to Israel. But if nobody can kill him, he's going to destroy